promised them. And that was really Avraham exemplified these midos. He studied the Mishpat Hashem. He was gomel chesed. He had the people in his tent. His midos are very well known. And it was really these things that he passed on to his children. Just really set up our mesorah, set up our am. Was the midos that Avraham studied of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and really passed on through the generations. And these are the midos that I learned from our Avraham, from my Zaidi, which he was really he inculcated in me and my father and my whole family, everyone, through the generations, and he really passed down. And I'd like to really share with you some of these experiences, some of these things that I learned that I learned from his actions that I really I was able to incorporate hopefully into my life from seeing him firsthand from my Zaidi. So I'd like to begin with a story that wasn't firsthand, but it's an amazing story, and it's what's amazing about a lot of my Zaidi's midos was that it wasn't taught. It wasn't something that he put on. He tried to teach as an action. He just it was natural. It flowed. It was normal. It just flowed from his personality. Flowed from the way he was. Flowed from who he was as a person. It wasn't an act. It wasn't a show that, oh, I'm going to go bring my kids somewhere and show them how I act. It was normal. And I think this first story is really unique in that sense. Is that when my grandparents were first married, so Bobby Zisa, so my grandfather's mother, moved in with him. And it was a young couple. I can't imagine, having your mother, living the house with you, living in the room next door, But it was normal. That was it. It was just a normal thing. She moved in, and that was it. It was no questions. It wasn't a debate. It was normal. That was it. She was a member of the household, like anyone else, like a child of the mother. It was no different. No different. And that's just if you try to put yourself in that place, it's just it's an amazing that itself is amazing. And later on, when Bobby Zisa passed away, Bobby Becky moved in, and she lived in the living room. They set up a hospital room, and now his mother-in-law lives in the house with him. And imagine that, even more. And that was it. Also, it was normal. That was it. She lived in the house. They set up a special room for her downstairs, and took over the living room. And that was her room. And that's just something that you hear that story, you think is wow, it must have been a great animosity, a great burden. But that wasn't the way it was. That wasn't the way it was. It was normal. It was simple. It was a simple thing for him, and that was the way he lived his life. Another story was when I was younger. I can't place exactly when this was, but I was eating over at his house. It was Yontif. It was Friday night, and Zaidi made Kiddush. His tune. And he brought out the challahs, and in kind of the door opens up, and comes this man, this disheveled man, looks dirty. Comes, walks in, sits down at the table. I'm just looking around, looking at Ma, Zaidi. No reaction. Sits down. They bring out, they make hamotzi, bring out the food. He quickly eats his food. 10-15 minutes. No talking. Gets up, walks out. What just happened? Looking around, did I miss something here? Is this a relative that I don't know? I asked my father about it, and he said that was Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim, the guy in the community. They called him Rav Chaim. This guy lived in the community. He was Ani, and he didn't have a place. He didn't have food. He came by. He would just come by. It was a normal thing. He was there. I don't know how long. Maybe someone could tell me in how many years he was there for. He used to come. It was a very consistent thing. He would come, and this was normal. Again, another mido, which to me, God, it would be to have a guy like that just once would be a struggle. But this was a continuous thing, week after week, for a long time. And then everyone knows Zaidi was an accountant. And Zaidi was my accountant. I made money back when I worked in camp. He was my accountant, and then I started working, still my accountant. And I had a house in Far Rockaway. I sold my house, and forget the exact details, a little confusing, but the way it worked out was I got a check for part of the house in 2009, and I sold the house in 2010, and whatever it worked out that I wanted to declare not to make it as part of the price of the house. I wanted to say that the check was separate, and the house was separate, and that would be a tax benefit to me. And so I proposed this to Zadie, and Zadie said, "Well, why'd you get the check?" And I said, "Well, it was part of the payment for the house, but whatever it was part of the payment." So he said, "That's it." So you're telling me that's it? It's for the house. So I said, "But we could declare." He said, "You got it for the house." And that was it. That was it for him. It was just his yashrus was. That was my experience with his yashrus. His yashrus was enforcement, though. I mean, it was known. It was known that Rabbi Pelkowitz said. Rabbi Pelkowitz said he was masbid my Zadie. He said he was a better accountant for the government than he was for me. Maybe if there were more accountants like him, maybe the national debt would be a little bit lower. You know. His yashrus, it was a matter of course, and from that experience, I learned an important lesson. I saw that sometimes you think you're being yashar, you know, but you compromise one iota, and you realize though that for Zadie, you realize that when you compromise one iota, you know, one iota now, but you start going on a path that's not yashar, you're no longer yashar. In a little bit of time, you're very far from where you thought you were beginning. And that's an amazing lesson, and it was, again, this was a matter of course, just on something that's his business, where it's hard to find accountants like that, but that was Zadie's way. So the pasuk says, it's Achrov, it says, it was a very telling day, the day that Avraham Avinu died. The pasuk says, Esav came in, and that was it. Chazal tell us that day Esav went off the derech. That was it. When Avraham was alive, when Avraham Avinu was alive, It was easy, so to speak. It was easier, let's say, to follow in the Derech Hashem. There's a strong personality of Avraham Avinu. He impressed upon Yitzchak and through Yitzchak to Yaakov and Esav how to live the Derech Hashem. But when he died, Esav decided. It was a time of Bechira. Esav decided. He went off the Derech. And Yaakov stood in the Derech Hashem. And us too, I think. We also, me and my family, We have a at the end of the shloshim we have a point where we can really take these lessons that we learned from Zadie, and we could incorporate them into our lives, or we could just let them go like any other lessons, any lesson, any good mussar, any debris mussar, or we can take on the true Derech Hashem, we can take on the midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we learned, and we can continue with them on Acharav. When our Avraham is no longer here, we can take on these lessons and we can incorporate them into our lives and continue on in his legacy. And the legacy that he set forward to him, and you see it's an amazing legacy, is that it's an amazing thing that every single one of his grandsons, every single one of them is a Muslim. And really is someone that people that care about Torah and learn Torah and perpetuate Torah. And it's whole, I hope that along with my brother and the rest of my family, that we can continue on this legacy, and we can keep the Shamru Derech Hashem Lato Sidekal Mishpah. We can pass on this Mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our families, to our children, and hopefully even to our grandchildren. Thank you.
Yeah, I too have some words of Hesped, which I'm going to say after. Give a little shir. So the topic of the shir is avelos, which is avelos of what you could call, I guess, avelos chadasha, which is a reference to when one's relative passes, and avelos yishana, an old avelos, which is avelos of the korban hamikdash, which we're coming on. And it's a shir regarding avelos, and specifically the isser of Talmud Torah. During Avelos, during each of these periods of Avelos. The nature of the Issur Talmud Torah when one is personally an avil for their own loss, and the nature of the Issur Talmud Torah when one is an avil for the Mikdash on Tisha B'Av. And I want us to go through some of the sugyas about this Issur Talmud Torah and compare and contrast and study the details of this Issur of learning Torah during each of these times. Now, just as some introductory comments, so what is the source? Why can you learn Torah when one is an avel? Or when one is doing on Tisha B'Av? So the basic idea is because everyone knows an avel is supposed to be sad and mourning, and there's the idea of an avel shouldn't be involved in simcha. And as the pasuk says, "Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchelev," means the laws of God are straight. They're Mesamchelev. They bring joy to one's heart. So because of the simcha of Talmud Torah is an experience of simcha, therefore it's also doing avails. Now that being the case, the sugyas I'm going to go into more depth, but just it turns out that there essentially, when we talk about this with Talmud Torah, there end up being three types of learning which come up and which are analyzed in the context of each of these types of avails, the avails of the korban and the personal avails. And the three types of learning, the first type is just the standard Talmud Torah. Just a normal person learning Torah, the full-blown experience of a Talmud Torah with all the joy which it brings with it. Then there are two types under that which are not the full experience of Talmud Torah, which is somehow might be mutter when one is another. They somehow lack the simcha of Talmud Torah, and somehow maybe mutter, and that's what the sugya is about. The one type is, which the Gemara says, is something which is ein ragel. If a person studies an area in Torah which they're not accustomed to, a new area, someone would, one of us would jump into some random sugya and tire of someone. And we don't know why, we don't really know anything about it, and it's the beginning of learning of a sugya is oftentimes tedious and painful. The joy of learning Torah is when we get familiar with the ideas and we feel a certain comfortability with it and we start seeing the depths of Torah being revealed to us. But at the beginning, oftentimes, it's a lot of collecting new information which is oftentimes difficult and tedious. And that's a type of a learning which may or may not be permitted in on Tisha B'Av and in a personal class. The second type of learning is learning of, I guess we'd call them, of sad topics. They're sad topics. Say Dvarim Haroim Shir Yirmiyahu, certain prakim Yirmiyahu which are sad. Or if we're doing Echa, or Eov. Okay, these are topics where the subject matter of them is, even if one is accustomed to learning them, but the subject matter itself somehow has somewhat of a sad theme. And that, learning these is also a question, both in the personal avelos and in the avelos from the former. And these three types of learning, the regular learning, the learning which one is not accustomed to, the inner rugilbo, and the learning of Dvarim HaRayim, is the bad topics. Those are the types of learning which we're going to discuss. Now, that's the way of introduction. Now, let's take what the first sugya is, the Gemara and Tainis. Okay, and the first thing we're going to discuss is Avelos Yishana, which is Avelos of the four of Mekdash. And it's on Tisha B'Av, and the Gemara says, it's on Tainis, Lamed, and Aleph. It says, "Kol mitzvos hanogos be'avel nogos b'tisha b'av." So all the mitzvos that an avel in shiva is no egg are no egg during on tisha b'av. Asur b'achilu v'shiya. First of all, he's asur b'achilu v'shiya, eating and drinking, which is not in a normal avelos. Then uvesicha uvneilas asandol v'tashim shamita. The asur likros b'torah. There's the Torah. It's asur likros b'torah b'nevi'im v'ksuvim. You can't learn Tanakh. L'shanos b'mishnah, or to learn Mishnah b'talmud. Gemara, the Medrash, the Halachos, the Agados. It's a list of all the different classes, different subject matters which one would learn. Aval, and this is the Tanakhama's position. Aval korehu b'makom she'ena rogel likros, b'shonu b'makom she'ena rogel lishnos. A person is allowed to learn. The Tanakhama will be allowed to learn some an area which you're not accustomed to, which is you're not used to doing. And the kore the kinos be'iyav with dvarim harav shemiyamiyav, and also one could learn these bad subject matters, okay? These sad bad subject matters, okay? And one other thing, I'm going to go with the girsa of the Rosh. There are different girsas in this Gemara, but the Gra cites the girsa of the Rosh, the Rosh and the Rif. The Tinokos shel Beis Rabban einan betelam ba. The Tinokos shel Beis Rabban do not have to be batal. So the kids in school, the kids who are learning, they also do not have to be batal on Tisha B'Av. Okay, why don't the kids have to be batal? So on the surface, the Taz explains that basically learning for kids, maybe nowadays it's different than the way it was, but back in the day, as my great grandfather was one of the rabbis, and learning for kids was not always the most pleasant thing. There was a tzar that kids were forced to learn. It was a pressure, high pressure type of an environment. And as the Taz says, learning for the kids, for young children, is until we accustom them to being able to see the beauty of the Torah, you have to kind of, they need a certain discipline. And the kids don't want to be disciplined, and there's a certain force which has to be applied to them.
So it doesn't matter what they're learning.
It's a good question. Could they learn, you know, the Torah, Marav, Shemiyah? Is that your question?
No,
or?
They learn the following.
Oh, no, that they can't learn. No, they can't learn it. No, I'm sorry. They could learn anything. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. According to the tradition, according to the mayor, just like an adult is allowed to learn an area which he's not accustomed to, because Rashi says, because since, let me just say to Rashi, he says, Dekivan de lo yada, because since you don't know the area, it's le tzara. There's a tzara in the learning. Similarly, a child, when they're learning, even if they're not accustomed to anything, right, they would be like an adult learning Tyros. It's like a kid learning Moed, right, because they're just not accustomed to it. So it's tzar. So it's a learning of tzar. So Rameyer holds, that the learning they're allowed to learn, the second class, as we said, is Mutar on Tisha B'Av, namely learning which one is not accustomed to because there's tzar, and also with the Dvar Maraim, the sad topics, is also permitted on Tisha B'Av. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Eino Korev Makom She'eino Roig L'Likros, Eino Shonen Makom She'eino Roig L'Shanos. All he argues, he says, no, you're not allowed to learn even something which you're not accustomed to. Doesn't matter if you're accustomed to it, if you're not, okay, you have tzar or not, you're not allowed to do it. Okay, you're not allowed to do it. But, and he also says, Tinok Shabbos Rabban can't learn either, because who cares, they don't enjoy it, doesn't matter. But, he does agree, Al Koreyu B'Iyu B'Kinos Adorim Ram Shabbi Yom. Okay, but you're allowed to learn these Zed topics. Okay, and again, Tinok Shabbos Rabban, Matei Lamont, Tinok Shabbos Rabban have to be batal. Why Mishum Shinamar? Because the Pasuk says, Pikude Hashem Yisharim Sam Pele. The Pasuk says that the laws of God are Sam Pele. Okay, and Rashi says, Vasilikos B'Torah, it says, Dechsivbu Misam Pele. Because the Torah is written by the Torah is Misam Pele. So essentially, both positions agree. So we have Machlokes. Both positions, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that on Tisha B'Av one is allowed to learn these sad topics. But the Machlokes is regarding areas which one is not accustomed to. The mayor says if you're not accustomed to it, there's tsar, and therefore you're allowed to do it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to do it anyways. We hold the Shulchan Aruch exam like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we hold you're not allowed to. You're allowed to learn Dvarim Rosh Hashanah, those things on Tisha B'Av, as everyone knows. But one is not allowed to learn an area which one is not accustomed to. So, what I'd like to sort of explain the svara behind this machlokas. What's the machlokas based upon? Whether or not it's permitted or prohibited to learn areas of learning which is not enjoyable. So, perhaps the question is what's what is the idea? And I'll do it in two steps. So the first step is what's the formulation? What's the Yisra Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av? Okay, what's the Yisra on Tisha B'Av? Is it asur for the person to be involved in the experience, the simcha of Talmud Torah? It's usher for the gavra to enjoy Talmud Torah, be involved in the simcha of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is an experience of simcha, and it's an issur of being involved in a limud of simcha. If that's the case, then one is that's the shita, that's the first position, that's Rabbi Meir. So you're allowed to learn areas that you don't enjoy, areas which you're not accustomed to. Since there's tsar, so therefore it's okay. That's not the issur. The issur isn't just learning. The issur is a limud of simcha. It's because there's shemisharim samchei leiv. This is where the begavra is involved in the simcha of Talmud Torah, and if it's an area which is painful, then that's permitted. Similarly, the children are not involved in the experience of the Talmud Torah, the simcha, the simcha leiv of Torah. That's the first position. Rabbi Yehuda argues that the ma'isa of Talmud Torah per se is a maisa of simcha. Objectively, learning Torah is an action of simcha. I may not be accustomed to learning Tyros. This particular thing, I may not be accustomed to it, and it may be personally experience of tzar for me. But the action on an objective level is a maisa of simcha. The maisa of Talmud Torah is a maisa of simcha. And the issa on Tisha B'Av is not like the first edition that it was an issa for the gavra to be involved in the simcha of Torah. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda argues that it's also to be involved in the maisa of the Talmud Torah. The maisa of Talmud Torah is objectively a maisa of simcha. Now, there's a question you may ask, which I'll get to in a second, is if the maisa of Talmud Torah is maisa of simcha, then why are you allowed to learn Bar Rav Shir Mimio? And the same topic, so I'll get to that in a second. But before I get to that, I just want to go, if you see we get a step deeper into the machlokas, perhaps a step further. So far, just to explain the halachically how the machlokas is, what the issa is formulated. But perhaps a step further, we could say is what is the nature of this of the Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av? Or you could say, why can't I learn on Tisha B'Av? What's wrong with learning on Tisha B'Av? Is it because I am supposed to be sad on Tisha B'Av? Supposed to be mourning, and by learning it gladdens me, it takes me away from my mourning. The person's supposed to be sad, it's supposed to be sad, involved in the mourning, and it's a sad day. And by learning, the person's spirits are brought up and he's brought out of his mourning. If that's the case, then the issur is going to be formulated that it's to be involved in the simcha of Talmud Torah. If a person doesn't enjoy it, that's not the issur. It's like a hesed hadas from the avelus. It doesn't remove the person from the avelus. It doesn't draw his energies towards the simcha of learning. That's the first position. But the second position perhaps argues that Rabbi Yehuda learns that it's not because I can't be distracted, I can't be elevated from my mourning. Rather it's an idea that this is a day of avelus for the Korban HaMikdash. And to be in Klal Yisrael, it would be like lacking the kavod of the Mikdash. It would be like a bizayon to the Mikdash. For a person to be involved in an action of Talmud Torah, an action which is objectively an action of Simcha. It doesn't matter if I don't enjoy it. But in Klal Yisrael, the activities of Simcha in Klal Yisrael don't take place. It doesn't matter what's going on in my head, but the action on an objective playing field is a Maisa of Simcha, is a Maisa of Talmud Torah Simcha, and therefore I can't be involved in it. So if it's because the cover of the Mikdash, it doesn't matter about my personal experience. But if the Isser is, like the first position maintained, is because it takes me away from my mourning, takes me away from the sadness by giving me joy, so then it's only going to be a Talmud Torah of Simcha. And if it's an area which I'm not accustomed to, then it should be fine. Okay. Now to the other question, which is that if we're saying is that if, according to the second position, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Isser is a Maisa, which is objectively a Maisa Shel Simcha, and that's why, even if I don't personally enjoy it, the Talmud Torah is objectively a Maisa Simcha. So then if that's the case, then why is one allowed to learn Dvar Merav Shabbi Yirmiyo? Why is that allowed? Why are you allowed to learn the sad topics? So for that, I have two different answers. Two answers which will come up again later on in this year. But the two answers are like this. One answer is that you could say is that really, really, what we're saying is that objectively Talmud Torah is an enjoyable activity. And even if I personally don't enjoy it, on an objective level, it's a maisa of simcha. But you could argue that's by most topics in the Torah. But when we're learning Dvar Merav and Shirim Yo, when you're learning a subject matter which is sad, so the tzar, there's also a tzar. Different than the tzar of an area of Einaragil. Einaragil is an area where you're not used to it. That's a tzar just because you can't really get involved in the experience of learning. In the Chorban, if it's in the Chorban, you can get very involved in learning. But since the subject matter is sad, that mitigates the simcha, and it creates a tzar in the learning. And therefore, you can argue is that that's an objective thing. See, my personal Einaragil is a subjective thing. Objectively, it's a maisa simcha. But when one is learning, you could argue Dvar Merav Shir Mimio is objectively not a Maisa of Simcha. It objectively lacks in the Simcha of Talmud Torah, and therefore that's fine. That's one possible answer. Another, or you could argue that no, that really, bottom line is if you're going to really involve yourself in Dvar Merav Shir Mimio, well, maybe it's a sad subject matter, but you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be an enjoyable experience. And therefore, and objectively, it really is a Maisa of Simcha. The only thing is that why can't we be involved in Simcha? Ultimately, why can't we be involved in Simcha learning on Tisha B'Av? Because it takes us away from the morning. But you can't prohibit one from being involved in learning about the Chorban on Tisha B'Av, because that is exactly what he's supposed to be involved in. So it's going to be Simcha. That's true, but the Simcha isn't also in its own right. The Simcha is also because the Simcha distracts one from Tisha B'Av, from the Chorban. But if one is learning subject matter which is involved in Tisha B'Av, you can't ask that. You can't say on Tisha B'Av you can't study the Chorban. So therefore, you could argue if there is a Simcha, still it has to ask for method. And that's why both positions maintain ask for method. Okay. So that's a machlokas again. So again, to summarize the position of machlokas by here by Tisha B'Av, is the isser to be involved in the person to be involved in the Simcha, or is it to an action which is objectively a ma'aser? Okay, that's by Tisha B'Av. Now let's turn to Avelos Chadasha, which is again a new Avelos. New because it's due to a recent passing of one's relative. So the term Avelos Chadasha Mishnah is from the Gemara in Yevamos. So the Gemara here in Moed Katan. So the Moed Katan, the sugya is about Avelos, about a person, Avelos Chadasha or Moed Katan. So there's two Gemaras which are relevant. The first Gemara is what's the source of the Issur that one can't learn Talmud, can't learn when one is an Avel. So it turns out there's a pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk in Yechezkel where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yechezkel to be involved in actions of mourning. And it was a nevuah to show the people what was going to happen, the tragedy that was going to happen. He told them to feign mourning, to do certain actions of mourning. And one thing he told them is henek dom, which means like melt away in silence. Silence. Dom. In silence. What's silence? So the Gemara learns two things out from Dom. One thing is Asr Avel v'Sheila Shalom. Okay? And Avel's Asr and Sheila Shalom. You can't be involved in greeting. Greeting one, asking, giving peace, Shalom Aleichem, to another person. The Kamalei Rachman Alechazkel Hanek Dom. Okay, so that's why a person shouldn't ask of an Avel, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How are things going? That's the one Isser, and then also Asr Avel V'Talmud Torah. Okay, Asr Avel Asr V'Talmud Divrei Torah. And Avel's not allowed to learn Torah, but Rachman Al Yechezkel Dom, be silent. So be silent involves two prohibitions. Silent from Sheila Shalom, and silent from Talmud Torah. Okay, silent from both of those. Okay, so that's the first one. Okay, then, so that doesn't say anything about learning, it doesn't say anything that you're allowed to learn. This Gemara does not say you're allowed to learn any topics. Sad topics, in the wrong guild, doesn't say anything. The other Gemara in Moed Katan is the Gemara in Chaf Aleph. Okay, Chaf Aleph, Moed Katan Chaf Aleph. It says again, also, Eil Dvarim She'Avel Asurban. These are the things in Avel Zasa. The Melacha, Rechitza, Sichot, Tashramita, Venilas, Sandal. The also likros b'Torah of neviim of ksuvim, almost the same as the Gemara in the Tainus. The lashanas b'Mishnah of b'Medrash of b'Halachos of b'Ashas b'Agadot. Period. Okay, maybe it continues a bit at a different point, but does not say anything about learning a subject matter which ain't a ragil. Doesn't say anything about learning Devar Maram Shavimiyah. There's no exceptions. In the Bavli, no, none of the Gemara says any exceptions. And because of that, Tosfos says, "B'tshuvas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zikna, Kasal Ki Rabbeinu Yaakov Ha'yosef Me'ivlo Evlo B'yad B'iyuv Kines Adorim Rav Shabim Yaakov." That Rabbeinu Tam asered during Avelos to learn these sad topics. Midilo Tani Le'Bishmaitin Kama B'Tisha B'Av Shili Tainus, because it doesn't say anywhere. And it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara here are any exceptions. And Tainus it does. And Tainus says you're not allowed to learn, but you're allowed to learn these sad topics. You're allowed to learn that which you're not regulating. By Moed Katan, by Avelos, doesn't say anything like that. Uvmezik Nusach Chazer V'Hitter. But later in his life, Rabbi Natan changed his mind, and he was Matir. Okay, he was Matir. Rabbi Yushalmi Yomar Avaloshon of Makam Shein of Shein of Ragil. But the Yushalmi, there is a Yushalmi who says that you could learn an area which you're not accustomed to. Mash Mash Hashanah Kamoba Tisha B'Av. So it implies, Rabbi Natan said, implies that it's the same as Tisha B'Av, just like on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to learn things you're not accustomed to. So I'm wrong, and therefore so too, and Avelos one's allowed to do that. Okay? fine. Because it says, Kol mitzvah shah nogas veibel, nogas v'tishabav. Aval korev makom shayna rakel, the korev yiyo, the kinos, right? Mashma l'choro, the tishabav, the avil tishabav shavim, k'nam yishalmi. Fine. So it says, the Yerushalmi, so Rebbeinu Tam used to hold that all of it, again, the Rebbeinu Tam is youth held all learning Torah is also 100%. Tishra Avelos, there's no Terim whatsoever. Then later, he says, the Yerushalmi holds, says you're allowed to do Makim Shayna Ragil, you're allowed to do something you're not accustomed to, and therefore he said, it's all the same thing as Tishra and Avelos are the same, you're allowed to learn both of them, you're allowed to learn that which you're not accustomed to, and Vom Rav Shemir. Okay, but then he says, Umihu, Avol Shona v'Makom, Sheino Ragil Mashma. But if you look carefully at the Yerushalmi, Tosfos says, if you look carefully at the Yerushalmi, it doesn't say anything about Dvar Rabbi Shirvi Umiyahu. All it says is that you're allowed to do something which you're not accustomed to. Mashma dehadafka shari velo biyu v'kinus Dvar Rabbi Umiyahu. So it sounds like a third position. It's a sweat. On Tisha B'Av, it's some, on Avela, some of the things are permitted. Some of the things are permitted. You're allowed to learn something that you're not accustomed to, but you're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to learn the sad topics. Okay. And he says, the Gemara says Hanigdom. Hanigdom says he can't do anything. It sounds like he can't do anything. He says, no, that's not a raya. He says because that just means from the thing the lo kamar al davar misamcha just means be silent from that which gives you simcha. Doesn't mean all learning Torah. It just means don't learn which gives you simcha. Shneamar pkidushim shamsa. Because of the simcha of learning. So in summary, summarize the positions. There's three positions regarding avelos. The what's permitted for an avel during avelos hadasha. Okay, the first position is Rebbeinu Tam in his youth is that it's 100% us to learn any Torah during one's personal mourning. 100% us. There's no permit whatsoever because there's dome, silence, total silence. The other position is, what he changed his mind to, is that no, it's exactly the same as Tisha B'Av. Just like on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to learn, I guess according to Rav Meir, you're allowed to learn that which you're not accustomed to, you're allowed to in your personal avelos, just like you're allowed to learn the Dvar Meraim, you're allowed to do that in your own avelos, exactly the same. And then the Tosfos has a split position, which is that in your personal avelos, you're allowed to learn that which you're not accustomed to, but you're not allowed to learn the Dvar Meraim Shergim Yah. So I'd like to explain these different positions and to show why they really should be different. I mean, on the surface, there's an equation between them, between Tisha B'Av and a personal avelos. So why should there be differences? Why should these things be different? For instance, according to Rebbeinu Tam in his youth, the dome means silence. When you're an avel, personal avelos, silence. Total silence, no learning Torah. So then why on Tisha B'Av isn't that the case? No one says that. Everyone says you're allowed to learn these other topics. So perhaps we could start with that position. What is the idea of dome? Silence. What is the unification of silence from learning Torah and silence from Sheila Shalom? And why is it that this halakha does not apply by Tisha B'Av? So perhaps it means that when one suffers a loss, personal loss, there's a certain reaction in silence. But don't. Silence. It's a natural thing that the person is hit. It's a blow. And it throws the person into a world of an internal world where they should be involved in the mourning is they're focused on the loss, the personal loss and the emotions which are attached to the deceased. And that's the Torah says one should be involved in that. That's a normal reaction for a person, and it's an appropriate response for a person, and that's part of avelos, to be involved, to be dumb, to be silent. Don't turn away. Don't go run to the outside world and try to escape. Rather, one should be silent. Turn inwards. And in fact, the pasuk in the Bavli is don't. The pasuk in the Yerushalmi is from Iyov, which is Ein Dover Davar, which is, they don't say anything like that. Iyov was speechless. Right with his friends, he didn't say a thing for the first thing of the week. So this idea is that it's natural a person to be turned inward. And perhaps the two expressions of that, there's two types of speech that a person could be involved in outside of the self, which are prohibited. Firstly is Sheila Shalom, which is the social speech. communication involved in the social and in personal interaction with Shaila Shalom. That's the one thing that they're asked. And secondly, which is not personal social speech, but a speech objective speech, speech about Torah. Like the Dibarta Bam, like Le Diborcha El Abam. The ultimate speech, the real speech that a person should be involved in is the speech about Talmud Torah. And both of those speeches are speech involved, well, away from the self, whether it's involved in people, the social, or it's involved in the world of ideas, the world of Torah. And dome means silent. The person has to be totally internal, inward, when they're in a veilus, and therefore they can't be involved in Talmud Torah. And therefore, it doesn't matter what Talmud Torah you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're doing something you're not accustomed to. It doesn't matter if you're doing sad topics. It has nothing to do with sad or happy. It has to do with the person should be inward, should be thinking about the mourning, should be thinking about the deceased, should be involved in their own personal tragedy, not distracting oneself to be involved in objective speech beyond that. And therefore, all Talmud Torah is asur. But on Tisha B'Av, that's for Avelos Chadasha. That's for a personal mourning, where the loss one suffers internally. It's a personal loss, and the emotions are inside, and the person, all the memories are inside, and the person should be turned inward. But when you're dealing with Avelos Yeshana, Avelos of the Chorban and the Chorban Abayas, it's not inside. A person has to be involved. In thinking about the Chorban, and reading Iyov, and reading Echa, and Dvar Maram Shevimiyahu, and involving oneself in the loss. The loss is not from within. It's an old loss. It's a loss that we have to conjure up our energies to direct ourselves, pour our energies towards the Korban HaMikdash. You can't say, don't be silent, stay inwards. It's not inwards. The mourning is something which has to be brought on by an involvement in the outside world and thinking and gaining shul kinas, doing kinas, doing echa, and then drawing one's energy towards the outside world, towards the veil, towards the mourning, towards the Korban, and then one's involved. So dome is something which is appropriate in a personal mourning, but it's not something which could exist by an Avelos Yeshana, which has to be conjured up through involvement in objective matters. So that's the position of Rabbi Natan Aziz, that the mourning, the Isra Talmud Torah in personal mourning is dome, silence, inward, turning inward, no Talmud Torah whatsoever. But Tosfos, both of the second, Rebbe Talmud is older when he changed his mind, and Tosfos, the second Pshat Tosfos, hold that the dome only means from Dvarim Shel Simcha. That there's not, it's not Dalach Avelos. So Avelos does not demand, does not mechayev that a person create a state of inwardness, a state of dome. Rather, the mourning is akin to Tisha B'Av. The mourning is mourning, a person should be mourning, there's a natural mourning, but a person can't be involved in the Dvarim Shel Simcha that removes him from the morning. And dome just means be silent from Dvarim Shel Simcha. Don't take yourself away by being involved in the opposite, being involved in Simcha and being involved in Talmud Torah. And therefore, just like on Tisha B'Av, it's mutter to be involved in a learning which is not a learning of Simcha, so too a learning of Tzar, let's say, a learning which is in a Ragel, so too on personal Avelos, it would be mutter. Because it's not Simcha, and according to the position, it's not a positive din of being silent and inward, rather just as it can't be involved in simcha that takes one away from mourning. And therefore, according to both positions, it's permitted to be involved in a learning of tsar, a learning of anuragya. But the argument is in a personal avelus, is it permitted to be involved in a learning of Zoram Haram Shavir Miyam? In the sad topics. Is that allowed? So on the surface, so the question is, what's that machlokas? When we say the mourning, when one personal mourning was permitted, what's prohibited is the learning of Simcha. Is one allowed to be involved in Dvar Maharav Shevri Miyahu? Definitely you're allowed to be involved in learning which is not enjoyable for you, a learning of Tsar. Are you allowed to be involved in the said topic? So perhaps to explain that Machlokas, we could go back to the beginning. Remember when he asked the question, is why on Tisha B'Av is one allowed to learn Dvar Maharav Shevri Miyahu? Right? Why is that allowed? Why don't you say, look, that's a learning, objectively, that's a learning. Learning is Simcha. Why is that permitted? So if you remember, we had two answers. One answer was because since the subject matter is sad, therefore that's not a limit of Simcha. That's objectively, that's not a limit of Simcha. The sadness of the subject matter mitigates the Simcha, and it's not a limit of the Samchei Lev, and therefore it's permitted. If that's why it's permitted on Tisha B'Av, then it's also going to be permitted in personal events. Because the Avelos and Isser is a learning of Simcha. It's a learning of Simcha. Exactly like my other learning of Simcha, which takes one away from mourning. So this is not a learning of Simcha. Because it's a learning of, it's a sad subject matter. But that's the position of Renatan. That Tishbav is the same as, personally, that's the same as Tishbav. But the second Shana Tosus learns now is that really the learning is learning of Simcha. The only learning, all learning is learning of Simcha. Objectively, learning is Simcha, and it doesn't matter if the subject matter is sad, but still, the experience of learning is Simcha. Why is one allowed to be involved in learning the sad topics on Tisha B'Av? Because that's the whole theme of Tisha B'Av. So it is Simcha, but you can't prohibit on Tisha B'Av being involved in studying the Korban, because it's the Korban and it's Tisha B'Av. So it doesn't take you away from the Korban. On the contrary, that is the Korban. So even though it's Simcha, it is Simcha, but so what? It still doesn't take you away from the Korban. But that's good when you're involved in Avelis Yishana, when you're dealing with the Tisha B'Av, but when you're in Avelis Chadash in your own personal mourning, so now you're involved in a Limachal Simcha, and what's your permit? You can say, well, I can't mourn from it because I have to be involved in the Korban. What do you have to do with the Korban? There's no reason why you should be involved in the Korban. You should be involved in your mourning. This is a Limachal Simcha. So again, if the reason why you're allowed to be involved in these topics on Tisha B'Av is because it lacks, the Simcha is mitigated by the sadness of the topic, then it's going to be permitted in your own Avelis as well. But if the reason why it's been on Tisha B'Av is because that is what Tisha B'Av is about, then that's not what your personal Avelis is about. And then that's going to be, then it's going to be also in your own personal Avelis. Okay, so I'd like to say now about my Zaidi. So first of all, just to tie the subject matter of the Shir to my Zaidi, is that we're talking about the Kedushin and Sharm, the learning, the Simcha of learning Torah. And I think that's something which we really saw in our Zaidi. And again, as I said this at Zespa, as Elia, but Zaidi did Daf Yomi for many, many years, 50, a long time. Before it was popular to do Daf Yomi, Zaidi was doing Daf Yomi. And he didn't do Daf Yomi once and then say, okay, I did my share and whatever. He really enjoyed doing it, he enjoyed learning. I remember even when we used to go to Florida, we used to go to his apartment in Florida. It was before there were Daf Yomi shares everywhere. It was, in Farquhar, there was Daf Yomi share in Deerfield Beach. This was before there were Daf Yomi shares in Deerfield Beach. He used to bring Daf Yomi tapes with him. It was something which he really was conveyed to Torah, and he really was involved in learning and the Simcha of learning. And I always remember that. I actually remember it was a few months ago, Zaidi came here to Ashir, Ashir over there. I remember it was nice to have him. Another thing I just wanted to mention, two stories. I spoke about Zaidi and the thoughts that I thought of at the time, right after Zaidi's passing. I spoke at the Levaya. But since then, I had certain other new insights, which I had after during this period of Shloshim. And it's actually interesting is that we were in Zaidi's house, and we were cleaning out, going through papers, old papers of his. And there are two things which I found in his files that I thought were moving to me, and I thought I wanted to share them. I think they really bring out certain midos and character traits which were Zaidi. And the first thing is we found this in one of his files. And I remember I was looking at his files, and I took this thing out, and I read it. It says, stated in 5808, it says, the enclosed U.S. stamps were purchased in the 70s and 80s for a total cost of $254.50. It can be used as postage. There's a receipt, by the way, for every single one, all the different, how much they all are. It can be used as postage. To sell to a dealer, you probably can get less than cost. I advise that this be held for many more years. It may then be more worth more or distribute to great-grandchildren as memento. So it was kind of weird to read this while, it's like this was plus in his file cabinet ready for us to read, a few years ago already. And I think there's certain things that this just brought to mind. I mean, it's kind of moving when I read it, but I think one thing is it illustrates Zaidi's great generosity. I mean, this isn't, it's a small gesture, $254.50, but he was thoughtful of others. He was thoughtful, this is something that, great-grandchildren could enjoy, and he was always, we could pass on to his children and grandchildren, and he was generous with his, with his time and with his money and with his joy with other people. And he was very, as some of the stories that David was mentioning, but he was a very generous person. And he was a thoughtfulness also. He was thoughtful. And it was interesting how when he says, he was giving us a gift, but he left it open to us how we would want to choose to use them. He wasn't unassuming. If you want to use them as postage, that's okay. If you want to you want to sell them, you're probably not going to get that much. You can save those mementos. Your choice. He wasn't telling us how to use it. And I think also which is interesting is, and this is something which I was moved by, is that he had a certain realism about his life and his passing. And this is something which is recent, but I remember even years ago, he used to joke with Ma, he used to say, when I pass, when I go, then you could get another guy, or you know, he used to like joke. They were very in touch with the reality of life and the reality of mortality. And oftentimes people run away from and are very frightened and can't face the fact that we are mortal. But Zadie was very much aware of his mortality, and he was not frightened by it, but he was very much in touch with it. In fact, within the past year or so, I remember he got together with myself and my father, and he says that I know a lot of people, when they've passed, their families have a very hard time sorting out all their papers, their finances. It's you'd imagine, how are you supposed to figure everything out? So he made a file. He showed us all the stuff, all his finances, all his papers, all his accounts, all his this. And he was very, I wanted to have everything super. I wanted to make it easy for us. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, you think is, I don't know, I wouldn't think it would be on a person's mind. A person doesn't want to think so concretely about their own passing. But he had no fear about it. He was very realistic. And he was generous. You know, he didn't want us to have the tsar of having to deal with the, and especially after one's sad or lost, you don't have to deal with all these practical issues. He wanted to make it easy for us. And then similarly, he said, he brought me down to his basement. He said, periodically, every month or so, every few months, I want you to come with me to my basement. And we have a lot of old files. He said, I know an accountant who just passed, and their house was full of files, and their family didn't know what to do with them. So we went into these rocks bags and filled them up. Every few months, we'd go fill up rocks bags, throw out the old files, and bring them out to the front of his house. You know, and again, I think it's just something which is, it shows a certain thoughtfulness and a realism about life, which is it's somewhat refreshing. I don't know if that's the way it feels to me. It's a certain realistic perspective on life, which is it's something that I think we can strive to. A second thing I found in looking through in Zadie's drawers was I saw a file that said charities. I took it, I saw them every single year, 1954, 1955, 1956. So I pulled out one of them. I pull it out, and on it is these accounting, you know, the old style accounting papers. I don't know if we still use those papers. And it had on it, it had charities, 1977 charities. A, Avraham Latorah, Avraham, like 15 charities, start with an A. And the amount of money he gave in the first quarter, so some of them had what amount he gave in the year, some of them in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. List them under A. B, list of 10, 15 charities. C, pages and pages of all the different charities. And these were not, like, there were some $18 or some $100 or some, but he was very mesudar. He was an accountant, he was mesudar, but he used his that quality for L'shem Shemayim. And he was very generous. We were saying he was generous to us. He gave us stamps and he gave us other things, but he was generous to institutions of Torah. He was generous to Aniyim, he was generous to the Rechaim who came to his Friday night dinner table. But his general, he was not an Ashir. He made a comfortable living, but he wasn't an Ashir giving a, you know. He understood the idea of giving staka and meiser, and he was very careful and thought out, and he was very organized, and he was not at all going to let it go, that he wasn't going to get the proper amount of tzedakah, and he really, it's something I think we could take as a lesson. Sometimes, you know, I don't know how he accumulated so many charities to be giving to, but I guess he actually, everyone who called him up, he probably, you know, when you get those phone calls, he probably actually responded to all of them, and over the years, you know, he started accumulating many, many charities, but he's really, although I was saying he wasn't an ashir in the literal sense, but I think that Zadie's generosity is indicative of that he was, what Chazal says, Ezeh Washer Asmeach L'Chalka. which is that I think that his, the fact that he was so generous on his money and with his time and with his just people in general, was because he was able to do that because he had that that quality of being a Sameach L'Chelko. He truly was happy, and I think that's why he was realistic about his passing. He truly had a good life, he enjoyed his life, he enjoyed his lot in life. He wasn't looking at the next guy. He was happy with what he had, and he was able to be realistic about it. He told me once, he says, I have no qualms about my passing. He says, I lived a good life, and there was, and it's okay. Don't cry for me, Argentina, or something. He started singing. You know, he was, and I think it's really a midah of, a certain contentness with life, which is also something which is refreshing, and it's something I think we could really learn from. And as David said, if we could take some of these mitos from Zaidi, and it's a good time at the close of Shloshim to really think over his life and his mitos and try to incorporate them into our lives. And his memory will really be a source of bracha to all of us. Thank you for coming.